What I want to do tonight, what we've been talking about in Bible study in the back, is for the last 3 weeks, is talking about the spirits that hinder the flow of God. And this past Wednesday night, we dealt with Balaam, error and greed. So tonight, what I want to do is kind of go back a little bit and maybe come from a point of more life application. Did some last Wednesday night, but I want to do a little bit more tonight and put things in perspective for us, because we need to be aware. The Bible said we fight not against flesh and blood. It ain't the person, okay? But against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and evil in high places. And it's principalities working through personalities, our bishop has taught us. And so we need to be aware. Say, beware of the wiles of the enemy. He's always looking, and you're going to find that out tonight. I thank God for his word. Amen. So bear with me. I'm going to try to get through this with the time we have. So as Israel journeyed to the promised land, notice that we're going to go back as far as Numbers 20, 21 and go on through 22 and some other verses I want to share with you. So you can open up there and put your marker there in Numbers. Excuse me. He purposely, he left enemies in the land, y'all. On purpose. In the promised land that Israel would be tested, okay? And trained. Tested and trained. You know, the Olympics is going on right now. There was a lot of time put in training. Amen. And they had to particularly deal with fear. Say fear.
Fear.
Where did fear come from? Didn't come from God. Because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Say power.
Power.
Love.
Love.
A sound mind.
Sound mind.
A sound mind.
Sound mind.
So you ain't crazy. A sound mind.
Sound.
Discipline. And self-control. That's what the Amplified Bible says. So don't look at me like a cuckoo. Ain't nobody cuckoo in here. Cuckoo. Particularly, this is very significant for a disciple. Okay? Turn to Judges chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to back up what I just said. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left. I told you he left enemies in the land, right? These are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. I told you it was for testing, didn't I? That is all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. And you can read on, if you like, on your own time. Israel's warfare was a matter of trusting God. Did y'all hear that? Their warfare was a matter of trusting God. And a lot of times we don't process it that way. We want to blame everything on the enemy. God wanted them to know how to do spiritual warfare. Ironically, we're in 21 days of prayer. Pray and trust him. Is that significant for a disciple to learn to trust God and pray? So let's go to look at Numbers 22. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab, the sides of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Israel is camped out in the plains of the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. God had kind of sounded the alarm to them in a sense that what he has done for Israel, he's letting them know, I'm for you. Those people came up against him. He gave them the ability to defeat the enemies that came against him. And they just took care of business. They didn't whine about it at that time. They took care of business. And at that time, and leading up to that, a lot of folk were afraid of Israel. On that side of the Jordan and the other side of the Jordan, even Rahab and her folk had heard how powerful the Israelites were. So God had set them up. Israel doesn't even realize what God is doing. They're just trying to make it through to where they're going. You ever journeyed somewhere and just was unaware of different things going on around you? Yeah. Just trying to make their way. And they was occasionally afraid themselves, and God had to set them up. And he was showing himself mightily on their behalf. Remember Elijah's servant? He got afraid. And Elijah prayed, and God opened his eyes. And he looked up and saw all the chariots of angels, which were more numerous than their enemies. There's something to get out of that. There are things going on that you don't see with your natural eyes. But you have to trust and believe that he's there. If he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and just because you can't see it with your natural eyes, doesn't mean that he's not there. That's why we walk by faith and not by. But see, that's a problem, y'all. That's a problem in the church. There's a lot of Missouri folks in here.
I got to see it to believe it.
I didn't mean nobody. So all this stuff was going on. And guess who's coming up next? Balak and Balaam. Verse 3, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now the company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up grass. Now that's pretty bad right there, though. I wonder if that's happened to some of you. Would you look at yourself as grasshoppers? Somebody said. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of people of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth, and they are settling next to me. Now, homeboy is getting a little, not a little, he was exceedingly afraid, worried, nervous, shaken. Balak and Balaam are next behind the scene. Israel doesn't know any of this is going on. They don't know what's going on. They're camped out in the plains, and they just defeated the two kings, not knowing there's another battle around the corner. When you win a battle, it's not time to relax. You need to keep your guards up. We don't know what's around the corner. But we do know that the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. But we also know Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, he's on our side, but he's not going to do your part. Hey, Jesus is not going to do your part. Remember Lazarus? The story of Lazarus? What did he instruct them to do? Roll away the stone. So he just waited on him. He ain't gonna roll away the stone. He told you to do that. Just an illustration. So if you don't know what's coming next, what's your job? Stay right with God. Keep praying. The Bible says to always and be thankful. Always pray. And when you're praying, you don't have to stop and get on your knees. Now, how ridiculous that sounds, some people believe that. That's why the Bible says, and all you're getting, get understanding. Get what? Understanding. Stay right with him, pray, and trust him. So the enemy had tried fear with them. Now he's going to try to use Balaam to get Israel into sin. Into sin. If you have anybody new coming to your life, you need to ask, what's the purpose of this person coming in? You heard me say that before, didn't you? I asked myself, what's the purpose of them? I asked God. Because everybody coming in your life don't have good intentions. Now, I'm sure everybody can identify with this. Remember in the book of Job when God asked Satan, have you tried my servant Job? Job was an upright man, right? Right? Yes. Have you tried my servant Job? Now watch this. This is a test for you, or information for you. He said, I've been watching him. This is my way of saying. I've been investigating, analyzing various ways at getting at him. But you are protecting him. God put a hedge of protection around Job. But did you hear those things I just said? I've been watching him. Guess what? He's watching you. The enemy is watching you, looking for a way to get into your camp or your house. He is. Why he want to get in your house? To bring destruction. So, unbeware to a lot of us, Satan don't kick the door down. Sometimes we invite him in. We got open doors when the door should be closed. And sin is one of the ways that he will use to get in and cause you to fall. So we have to stay on our guard. And in the book of Proverbs says, above all you guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? I've said it many times up here. Your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. Why do you guard your heart? Because out of it are the issues of life that you're going forth. And Satan don't want you to go forth. And if you're not going forth, then you're backslidden. Balaam, error, greed. The way we do ministry is to stay in the Word. We have to. So that we can be filled up and refreshed and able to do something. Filled up and refreshed. I do not like coffee sitting there overnight. In the morning, I want it fresh. Don't you like yours fresh? Fresh bread? Who likes stale bread? To each his own. But refreshed, filled up, and enabled to do something to serve the Lord. Guess what? Christians don't get any days off from your faith. You get no days off from your faith. You can go to the beach, but you still do not get days off from your faith. And some people think they can go to the beach and take days off from their faith. And then when they come back to church, they all jacked up. Well, what happened to you? So there was a meeting about Israel because close by, Balak had sent messengers for Balaam. In verse 6, he said, please come at once. And at the latter part of that, he said, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed and he whom you curse is cursed. He said that those very words were said to Abraham. Balak doesn't know that Israel has no intention of coming against him, but he's afraid. They can't. Because if they did, they would be going against what God has said. You want me to show you how I know? Turn to Deuteronomy 2:9. Deuteronomy 2:9. Then the Lord said to me, that's Moses, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. So they couldn't touch him. But he didn't know that. Fearful, scared, thinking Israel, because of what they had done previously to the kings, he thought he was next, or his nations were threatened. He felt threatened. Now, I'm finna mess with you right now. Suppose you the best player on your team, and here come a new kid to town. At basketball, let's say basketball, and this boy is dunking out the gym. You didn't know he was coming, but you thought you was. Would that person feel a little threatened, you think? Because, see, he was getting all the glory. I'm just showing you a little something. So, Moab is a descendant of Lot by the incestual relationship with his oldest daughter when they came out of Sodom. So, no danger for the Moabites at this point. At this point, they're okay right now. Okay? But fear. They're making plans. A 10-foot guy leading an army was defeated by the Israelite army. They heard about it. I ain't gonna try to pronounce his name. I will spell it for you, but I'm going to move on. You can look that up. But it made him afraid. A 10-foot guy. Pharaoh also defeated. Balak sent for Balaam, who was a... That guy had a huge reputation for being a false prophet. Huge reputation. He's from the region of Pethor, which is and I didn't know this, but I found out, Babylon. It's from the Babylon area. Y'all remember the Babylonian king? I ain't gonna say it, baby. Yeah, I am. We talk about a Babylonian bell at home. That's an inside joke, but just Rufus know about it. Now, Balaam believed in many gods. Many gods. And last Wednesday night, we talked about this. See, if when you're reading in the story about Balaam and Balak interacting together, he could not get him to curse the Israelites because God said he won't do it. Okay? So what he did, he moved from one point. He said, come over here with me to this mountain. And the reason he did that was he believed in several gods, and they had authority over certain regions, over the oceans, the mountains, the valleys, and so forth and so on. So this God won't go with me here. Maybe he will over here. So he said, come on over here with me here. Follow me? And so he was well versed in the Babylonian magic and studied the gods of the land so he could be good at his profession. A good false prophet. He was a master deceiver, Balaam, mixing beliefs to appease whoever would pay him. Whoever would pay him. Now, turn to Jude 11. Jude 11. Woe to them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. We done talked about Cain. We talked about Korah. Talking about Balaam now. That rebellion of Korah caused the earth to swallow them up. Rebellion is not a good... The Bible said rebellion is like witchcraft. So Balaam is a false prophet for hire. For hire. Now, I hate to go to a church where the minister is there as a hireling. That's not a good thing. Revelation 2:14. Jesus talking to Pergamos. I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. They were gabbling with witchcraft when they interacted in those two things. And then, I don't think I mentioned this last Wednesday night, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Listen to this. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages. Did you catch that? The wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. While they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. And a lot of guys prey on women like that. Enticing them. And vice versa. It ain't one-sided. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That is dangerous. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Don't miss that madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That is heavy. I said last Wednesday night, which one is the donkey? Is it animal or Balaam a donkey? That's all I'm going to say about that. You'll get that on the way home. Mercy, Lord. Let's look at verse 8 back here in Numbers. And he said to him, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Nobody caught that, did they? And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. He sounded so spiritual. He didn't talk to the Lord. The Lord talked to him. God came to him, not Balaam went to God. Now, if God speaks to him, he's got to be a man of God. But remember, God spoke to two pharaohs, spoke to Pharaoh, a Gentile king who didn't love God. This is some other stories in the Bible where God spoke to them. They didn't speak to God. God spoke to them. And he said, the woman in your harem, she's married, talking about Sarah. You need to get her out of there or I'll deal with you. Then there was Abimelech. Second time, because Abraham keeps lying about her being his sister. So he ends up in Abimelech's, she ends up in Abimelech's harem. God spoke to him in a dream and said he would kill him. I'm going to kill you. God talking to Abimelech. You know what Sarah was doing? She was being obedient while her husband was being dumb or being stupid. But Abimelech was finna get killed. What's the point here? God was speaking to these men, not them speaking to God. That's the point. Verse 10. So Balaam said to God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now, that should have been the end of the story. But remember what his motive is. He's greedy, right? He want the cheese. So he got a little bit of a compromise in his heart. He really want to go when God told him not to go. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the prince of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. I'm so sorry I can't go. But he really wanted to. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous, trying to get him to change his mind. But he had to do what God said. For I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balak ransom said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me this house and full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please you also stay here tonight that I may go know what more the Lord will say to me. That joker is entertaining the idea. He's still thinking about that money. He is. He's still thinking about the dollars and cents. So God is allowing him to go. You know what's wrong with Balaam's heart? It's already hard. His heart is hard unto God's plans. What he wanted was wealth and riches. You know what you do sometimes? Now, y'all be honest with yourself. You try to negotiate with God. No. And if you really look at it, it's really ridiculous. Because if he say he's not going to do it, he's not going to do it. Now here's what we do. We won't quit there. We'll go try to find somebody to be in agreement with us. Now, I know Pastor Joe ain't going to agree with me. So let me go talk. No, Chaz ain't either. You get the point, though. You know what humans do? Humans act like electricity a lot of times. They always follow the path of least resistance. So if I can find somebody who ain't, you know, who ain't really up on the word, maybe they'll agree with me. How ridiculous. Yeah, it's crazy. But people do it. So I read a scripture to you a few minutes ago, 2 Peter chapter 2, 12 through 17. And something, it was a word mentioned. I told you, don't forget it. Madness. Madness. Remember, Peter called it madness of the prophet. Balaam is so bent in doing what he wanted to do, even though the Lord told him not to, that he could no longer see clearly. It would cloud your ability to see when you disobey. Madness. Sin. I'm going to call it sin. We all can learn from this. Now watch this. Verse 28. Oh. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Who in here ever rode a horse before? What if he talked to you? Would you get off? Would you say, whoa? And he say, I ain't gonna whoa. We got a problem then, don't we? And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. How else was he going to say? No. You ain't never did that to me. You kind of have to see how this thing went, you know? Now watch this. Immediately arguing with the donkey, he's not even thinking to himself, the donkey is talking to me. Madness. Madness. He's so into what's going on, he don't even realize the donkey talking to him. Now, baby, if a donkey talked to me, George, I have Angela. I'm gone. Y'all see what I'm saying, huh? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all would have stood around? I don't see no hands. Oh, I see one. Uh-oh. I'm gonna pray for you. Okay. I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not. Now, this is showing you how far gone he is when he didn't even realize the donkey was talking to him. He only could see dollar signs, y'all, at this point. He said, if I'd had a sword, I would have killed you. That's the dumbest thing he could have did. You know what? What was he after? At least you could do is take him to the state fair and come listen to my donkey talk and take up an admission. Wasn't he after money? And you gonna kill the thing and you looking for money? Bring that joker to all the fairs and charge and put some moolah in your pocket. He only could see what he wanted. And we can be that way sometimes. In Proverbs, it talks about our own selfish desires hindering our ability often to pray the way we should. We should surrender our will to God's will. He may have a different way of doing it. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. So he may know a better way than you do. We're finite. He's infinite. So Balaam is blind in his sin and covetousness and can't see anything but money. The donkey was the only one that was obedient. When he saw the angel of the Lord, blew, went down. He opened the donkey's mouth and he opened the donkey's eyes. Because he saw the angel of the Lord. Balaam didn't see it. Did y'all see that? Opened his eyes and his mouth. And this joker wanted to kill him. Verse 32, let me wrap it up. Verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse." You know what that means? It stinks. Your ways stink before me. Balaam is corrupted in his heart. He's corrupted. He's driven by greed. God can see what's in us. He always looks on the intent of the heart. And you can't hide it. You cannot hide it. He sees it. You may fool everybody else, but you ain't fooling him. So God will go on to use Balaam's wicked heart to bless Israel in that scene when he brings forth the prophecies. We're told not to be greedy for filthy lucre. Anyone who sees ministry as a means of gain from such, you turn away from that and run. So Israel is camped out and up in the mountain. King of Moab, Balaam, is trying to have a false prophet curse them, and Israel has no clue what's going on. And he wants to curse them so he could come down and go to war with them and drive them out because he felt them as a threat against him. So there's a battle brewing on the horizon. Israel's camped out and completely unaware of what's going on. Now here's the point I want to make to you. Most of the battles that we fight, we never see them. Most of the battles we fight, we never see them. We wage them on our knees. 21 days of prayer. We wage them on our knees. And God fights for us. When you pray, you cover. We covered the kids tonight. Traveling mercies. You ever pray that before you go on a trip? Why do you do that? Things that could happen won't happen because you prayed. So you never see it. You just be obedient to trust and obey to pray. He said men ought to always, and he got you covered. But we have to be obedient. A lot of folks just jump in the car, pew, turn the radio on, and the devil just out there. It battles down the road and they don't even see him. It's not that you don't see him. Just be obedient to do what he told you to do, and you know you're protected. So Balaam went on to speak the blessings of the Lord on the Israelites, but his true character surfaced afterward. He couldn't curse them, but he offered advice to her enemies. And you read on in Numbers 25 and Numbers 31:16. The Balaam was a wicked enemy of the true God and his people. So what did he end up doing? You know, I can't curse him. I can't curse what God has blessed. So what he end up doing is putting a stumbling block in front of him. And if you read in Numbers 25 on up to 31, you'll see what happened. They had these scantily clothed women. Okay? To entice them into sexual immorality and cause them to turn from God. And he brought judgment. That's when the plague broke out. Balaam helped them out in doing that. And I gave another scripture. I don't have it with me tonight, but I'm certain that Balaam got his money, but he didn't get to enjoy it because he died. My heart goes out for Israel. I see all these people, the universities speaking against Israel. Somebody need to inform them. They need to read the Bible. How many of you likes for somebody to just touch your eyeball? God says Israel is the apple of God's eye. And when you mess with that, you finna have some problems. Ask Harvard. They in trouble. They got sued. The Jewish students are suing them. Greed and error. Greed, don't get greedy. And don't do things for the wrong reason. Purpose is everything. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, then the tendency is to abuse it. And you end up hurting yourself and somebody else too. A lot of young folk, old folk, don't know the purpose of sex. Don't know the purpose of food. It's supposed to sustain you. I'm going to stop there. Did you enjoy that? Yeah. Can help anybody? So, we're going to deal with all these spirits, but remember, we fight not against flesh and but against rulers of darkness, evil in high places. It's not that person. And there's principalities working through personalities. But we forget that. And the first thing we want to do is go after that person. It's not the person. They need Jesus too. Amen, somebody. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. I would encourage you every morning. Tune in with Church of the Highlands. Get in that prayer. 6 o'clock. If you miss the start, you know what? You can go back later on in the day and pick it up. You can. They sharing some good word. Sunday, 9 o'clock, prayer room. 21 days. Any failure is a prayer failure. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things should be added unto you. Let's do it his way. We have not because we ask not. You ask in prayer. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you go and talk to God and knowing what 1 John 5, 14, 15, 16 said, this is the confidence that we have in him. You have confidence when you go to him in prayer and you petition him based on what he said and you put him in remembrance of what he said, and he said, I hasten to my word to perform it. How can you lose? Put me in remembrance of what I said. So if he tell Joe to put me in remembrance of what he said, I'm going to go find out what he said. In terms of finances, health, healing, a job, I need new wheels for my car, my truck. It's all in here. Are you staying with me? Are you glad you came to church tonight? And man, we're finna get into some other spirits, Absalom spirits, a lot of them coming. If I were you, I wouldn't miss me Wednesday night. My God. I remember my bishop said this. He said, people do what they want to do. I'm not missing. The main ingredient of life is his word. I ain't missing it. He preached a sermon several weeks ago to my bishop, centered around intentional. I was here intentional. Even when I'm not teaching, I'm in there. On purpose. And guess who's always looking and watching? But also remember, there's somebody else watching and studying us and analyzing our every move and knowing what our weaknesses are. And he come to steal, kill, and destroy. So I need everything I can get my hands on in my arsenal. My sword. I'm taking the time to say this because we can't come in here religiously and not take this serious. He's getting ready to come back. And he said to be ye always ready. Don't be like the five bridesmaids that wasn't ready. And you don't ever want to hear him say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You don't ever want to hear that. What do you want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. Man, I'm trying to stop. Let's pray. Father, we honor you and thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for revealing to us what these spirits are and how we are to conduct our lives. I thank you for the blood. I thank you, Father, for discerning the spirits. I thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding. I thank you that our steps are ordered of you. And I thank you that you would keep us in perfect peace when our eyes are stayed upon you. I thank you, Father, that as we lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge you, you promised that you would direct our pathway. We praise you, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Keep you. Angels all around you as you drive home. And as I always like to say, he giveth his beloved sleep. Good night.